This last Sunday of the church year is also the Feast of Christ the King. And these last few Sundays we've been reading readings about the end times, and next Sunday, the beginning of the new year, we'll also be reading about the end times. Because the beginning is the end and the end is the beginning. We're talking about infinity here. In that book of Revelation that we just heard, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the one who is and who was and who is to come. Past, present, future, infinitely in both directions. No beginning and no end. And at one point in human history, that Word of God, who was always with God and was God, and in whom and through whom everything came into being, he enters into our human flesh, our human situation in Jesus. But he's not just a man. He's also the Son, the eternal Son of the Father. And so the author of everything, the word spoken by the Father, is standing in front of Pilate. And Pilate deludes himself into thinking that he has some kind of superiority over Jesus. The author of creation, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is standing in front of Pilate and he doesn't know it. And so he's talking down his nose to Jesus as if he were some common criminal about to be executed. Pilate is not a king, he's a governor in a small outpost of the Roman Empire that's insignificant in Roman terms. But Pilate, you know, he's so locked into the Roman system of things, and he's a fairly important person in that structure. And the structure has always worked for him, and that's his worldview. He sees everything through that lens. And because he is so locked into his box, he's smart in his box, but he can't see out of that box. And he's talking to the one who made the box, who is beyond any box. And so they're talking past each other. You notice how in that little dialogue, Jesus never really answers his questions. And Pilate isn't getting anything that Jesus is saying because they're on completely different planes. So Jesus ends this little passage by saying, the reason I was born, the reason I came into this world was to testify to the truth. And anyone who lives in the truth hears my voice. Well, there's the key. If you're not living in the truth, if you're living in the box that the world creates, if you're seeing the world from the system out of which you grew up in your family, your culture, your nation, the world, then you're never going to be able to hear the voice of the one telling the truth. Not just some truth, but the truth. He is the truth in his person. But you have to be living in truth to recognize that. Most of us here were baptized in infancy, but we grew up in the faith, and we gradually came to realize what that baptism really meant. It meant that we put our back to this world and to its illusions and to its systems, and we ceased to trust in that as the ultimate meaning of existence. And that's a big thing to let go of. Because we're just so steeped in that all our lives. The main message we've heard is the message of the world. That somehow that's the truth. But in baptism, we're putting our back to that and saying, no, I have found another truth that is beyond that, that is infinitely beyond that. In fact, I didn't even find that truth. It found me. And now that it has found me, I'm going to step down into this pool of death, and I'm going to embrace his cross so that I can embrace his resurrection and live with him forever. And these candidates and catechumens that we have with us this morning have come to that recognition. They've come to it through different paths, and some of them are long path and others are short. And some of them were already baptized in another Christian denomination years ago, but now they're embracing this truth in the Catholic Church, and others are going to be actually baptized this Easter in that font back there. And it's about conversion. And you may have noticed that throughout the church year, there are so many stories in the gospel that really are about conversion. Just a few weeks ago, we had Bartimaeus the blind man, and we had Zacchaeus, and these are conversion stories. And in those stories, someone who has no knowledge of Jesus, who is living in the world as they have seen it for all their lives, and then they're confronted with the truth, and they drop everything and follow him. And Bartimaeus, the end of that passage says, he followed him up the road. And what was the road leading to? It was leading to Jerusalem. It was leading to Calvary. Jesus was on his way to his death. And Bartimaeus followed him on that way. And that's what we're all doing too. We're following Jesus to our own personal Calvary. Because until we're willing to face that, until we're willing to see and to hear the truth that is beyond the kingdoms of this world and beyond the kingdoms that we set up in our own imagination or the things that we give obeisance to in this life, the one beyond that, the kingship that will never pass away. And we've been invited into to be part of that. And so we face the cross. We look at the instrument of death, horrific death really, which is also the throne of glory. Christ is the King of the universe, and his cross is his throne. Interestingly, there's a feast on September 14th called the Triumph of the Holy Cross. And on that feast day, we don't have a cross with Jesus on it. We have a cross that is garnered with flowers and jewels because it's the throne of glory. This is another irony that we celebrate in the liturgy all the time, that death is life and losing yourself is gaining yourself and letting go of everything in this world, my possessions, my stature, my influence, my possessions, that's all a kind of a dying, but it leads to glory. It leads to the throne of glory, which is the cross.